morning as we look at the third Sunday of Advent. As we are striving to answer the question, what child is this? We're going to be looking at the shepherds today. And what we can learn about this child from the shepherds and what happened to them. We're going to look at their story. And we're going to just briefly look at it. I promised the ensemble that I could do a 10-minute sermon. And so we'll see. I don't like to break promises. So if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I just want to read this to you because it reads so beautifully. This is such a precious, precious text that we have. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was lying in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told. Let's pray. Father, as we strive to know more about this child, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, of all the people in this Christmas story, this is the group of people that I would most like to have been with, or to have been, actually. Now, I think about it, we talked about Mary the first Sunday, and obviously I'm not a Mary type. For obvious reasons, and I mean, just frankly, her faith and her willingness to say, "God, what you're going to do, do." You know, I mean, that's probably not something that I could have said. And then we talked about Joseph the next Sunday. And I don't think I would have wanted to be Joseph. I don't like explaining things. And especially when you can't explain them. I mean, you know, you're engaged to Mary and she's pregnant. How'd that happen? Well, see, there was this angel. And he told me, yeah, you think how far that would go with someone as you're trying to explain that. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And now, you know, that would have been a tough, tough thing to be Joseph and to do what he did, and then to take this son and raise him as his own, knowing that this was not his son. But now we come to the shepherds, and I can identify with them because the shepherds are just, they're plain, ordinary people. Actually, Mary and Joseph were too, but the shepherds actually are probably a step below plain and ordinary. They're kind of the undesirable people of the culture because their job was to take care of sheep. And we've talked about sheep so many times. They are stupid. And they need constant watch. And so you've got to kind of have a 24-hour vigil watching sheep. Well, if you're going to do that and you're living out in the fields watching the sheep, guess is one of the things you don't get to do very often. Bathe or clean up, or I was going to say take a shower, but that doesn't happen back then. But, you know, and so, and another thing they could not do is they could not be ceremonially clean. You know, because at that time, the priests and the Levites required so much of the people. And so these men, they were doing a very important function, were really undesirable people and not necessarily welcomed in the culture. And yet God invites them, a special invitation. Now, God had been inviting people for thousands of years through the prophets, okay? And the Jews should have known what was happening, but they did not know what was happening. But God sent the angels to the shepherds. And that is amazing that he would do that. And the angel announcement tells us a lot about this baby that is going to be born. And we've learned a lot of things for the last two, and I can't go over the last two Sundays to bring out what we've learned. But this week, what we learned about this child and what child this is, we learned that from the scripture, if we go to verse 10 of our text, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" So this child is going to be a source of great joy. Great joy. Now, there wasn't a lot of joy in the world at that time. But this baby that was going to be born was going to bring joy to the world. And this is not the first time that we've heard about that. But if we go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, we read this: "It's the people who walk in the darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoils." So here we have a prophecy talking about this child bringing happiness and gladness and joy into the world. So why is he going to bring joy into the world? Well, we go back to Luke 2:11, where it says, "For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior." We talked about Savior last week. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The joy is there is going to be someone to save the people from their sins. They should be happy about that. That's why Christians of all people should be joyful. That's why we should have a joy that the world just cannot figure out. Because we know that Christmas is all about God sending a Savior to save us from our sins and to give us everlasting life. Then we go on in verse 12. It says, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a Holiday Inn." No! And lying in a manger. Well, where do you find mangers? In barns, in stables. You know what? The shepherds knew where to find a manger. Because they went and they looked for this baby. This baby was going to be of humble means. now wait a second, this Savior, this King, this Son of God, all these things we've learned, he's going to be of humble means? He's going to be humble? See, in our day and age, that doesn't practice. You got someone who's that special, generally they're not humble. But this is a humble person. I mean, look where he is born at. You know, I mean, I typically ask the question, how many of you were ever born in a barn? Now, you may have been accused of being born in a barn because you leave the door open, because you don't wipe the mud off your feet when you come into the house. But generally, we are born in hospitals, or at least in homes, occasionally a car. But those are accidents. This was no accident. The child, this precious child, was born in a stable or in a barn, and he was placed in a manger, and he was just wrapped with cloths. But as this child grows, we learn more about this humble means of Jesus. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He doesn't have a palace. He doesn't have a home. He's basically a nomad. He roams around the country telling the good news of what he's doing and why he has come. I'm sure he's staying overnight at the disciples' houses and probably staying out in the open sometimes. But he isn't a man of means. He's very humble. Now that was his you know... But if we talk about who he was as a man, not just the fact that he was poor or humble, if we go to Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus offers an invitation. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." What a description of this child who is foretold from he's a fulfillment of a prophecy. He's been told by angels. He's got all these titles, and yet he says, "I am humble in heart." Jesus Christ is humble. He was humble. This boy that is born, he's not going to be lording it over people. He's going to be of humble character. Then we go on to Luke 13:14. It says, "And suddenly they appeared with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Well, this child is going to bring glory to God. This child is going to bring glory to God. John 12:27-28 says, "Now my soul has been troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have been glorified. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus didn't come to glorify himself. Now the Father does glorify the Son. But Jesus came to bring glory to the Father. And then the last thing that we learned this morning about this child and who he's going to be and what he's going to do is he's going to bring peace on earth. He's going to bring peace on earth. Now, there's a lot of people who will say, "Well, that didn't happen. Didn't happen. Christmas was a long time ago, or the time that Jesus came, over 2,000 years ago. We still aren't at peace on this earth." Yeah, we're not. But yet the prophet said in Isaiah 6 and 7, he says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. "There will be no end of the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." He is prophesied to be the Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his peace. So what happened? Did we miss one here? Did Jesus blow something somewhere around here? What's going on? Well, if we read the entire text and look at it carefully, it says that he is going to bring peace on earth with among men with whom he is pleased. With whom he is pleased. And the peace that he brings is not peace of not having wars going on around us. That's prophesied to happen until Jesus comes again. And when he comes again, there will be an end to the wars. And the kingdom of peace will be firmly established. But even right now, we can have peace. We can have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we have peace in our hearts and in our souls. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. When we are with peace with God, then whatever happens in this world is secondary. And we have a peace that is nothing like the world knows. We have a peace that the world can't even comprehend. In fact, Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Not only does the world not understand the peace, we can't even comprehend it. It is so great. The peace is here. It came with Jesus Christ. When the angel said that he was going to bring peace, the angel meant that. And it has happened. Jesus has not failed. He has brought peace to this earth for those who believe in him. And that's really where it's at. Peace for those who believe in him. Joy for those who believe in him and accept him as their Savior. If you want to know peace and joy in your life, and you're not experiencing that, then you might want to check your relationship with God. You might want to check to see if you've ever given yourself to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that's what he came to do. But when you have accepted him, you have a joy. And you have a peace that the world just cannot figure out. Because it only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, may this Christmas be a Christmas of true joy and true peace for all of us who believe in you. Father, help us to lift our eyes off of this world and onto you, and realizing that our greatest enemy, sin, and the greatest tragedy, separation of man and God, has been fixed through Jesus Christ and is coming to earth to be our Savior. Father, I pray that this Christmas season would find us all believing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen.